Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memra by Avram Goldar and today Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Yud Ches. The beginning of the second parak, Kohen Gadol. The Zichu Masechet Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the second parak begins, Kohen Gadol Dan V'Danin Oso. A Kohen Gadol may judge others and be judged. He may testify and be testified about. The Mishnah teaches the laws of a Kohen Gadol regarding chalitza, yibum, funerals of a relative, and mourning, and teaches these laws regarding a Jewish king. The Gemara says that it's obvious that a Kohen Gadol may judge others, and explains that the chiddush is that he may also be judged, and we do not say it's degrading for him to appear before Beis Din. The Gemara says that this too is obvious, because if he could not be judged, he would be disqualified from judging others, because the pasuk says, Hiskoshishu v'koshu, search yourself and search others, which Reish Lakish explained, Kashet atzmecha v'achokach kashet acherim, correct yourself and only then correct others. The Gemara answers that although this law is obvious, it was written to teach the contrasting law of a king. Alternatively, the Mishnah is teaching that he's even judged for galus if he killed inadvertently. Since if he would go to galus, he could never leave, since there was no other Kohen Gadol then, one might have thought he's not subject to galus. Point number two, the Mishnah taught Me'id u'me'idin oso, a Kohen Gadol may testify and be testified about. The Gemara said, a brisa darshens be salamta, and you shall hide to teach, pamim shatam misalem. There are times when you may hide from returning a lost item. One example is zaken ve'eno lefi kvodo, an elder for whom it's not befitting his honor to retrieve and return the item. If so, a Kohen Gadol should likewise be exempt from testifying for someone's benefit. Rav Yosef answers that he testifies for a king, which is not beneath his dignity, but the Gemara objects that a king is not judged. Rav Yezer answers that he testifies for a king's son, but the Gemara asks that he's a commoner, and the Kohen Gadol would not testify about him. The Gemara answers, Me'id bifnei hamelech. The Kohen Gadol testifies in the king's presence, which is not degrading to the Kohen Gadol. Since the king cannot serve on a Beis Din, the Gemara explains that, Mishum yakar de Kohen Gadol, because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol, who is testifying about a son, the king comes and sits, and after he testifies, the king leaves and Beis Din examines the case. And point number three, was Tana Braisa that a melech cannot serve on a Sanhedrin, because the pasuk says, Losana al Riv, you shall not respond to an argument, which is darshaned as, Losana al Rav, you shall not respond to a master in disagreement. Since no judge could argue with the king, he cannot be a judge on a Sanhedrin. The Braisa says that neither a melech nor a Kohen Gadol may participate in Ibershana. The king cannot mishum afsanya, because of the wages he pays to his army. Since they are paid yearly, the king may be inclined to extend the year whereby he'll save money. The Kohen Gadol cannot mishum tzina, because of the cold of the upcoming Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol immerses himself in a mikveh numerous times in Yom Kippur, and extending the year would result in Yom Kippur falling a month later when it'll be colder. Therefore, he might be inclined not to extend the year. So once again, the three points are number one. The second parak begins, Kohen Gadol dan v'danin oso. A Kohen Gadol may judge others and be judged. He may testify and be testified about. The Mishnah teaches the laws of a Kohen Gadol regarding chalitza, yibum, funerals of a relative, and mourning, and teaches these laws regarding a Jewish king. The Gemara says that it's obvious that a Kohen Gadol may judge others, and explains that the chiddush is that he may also be judged, and we do not say it's degrading for him to appear before Beis Din. The Gemara says that this too is obvious, because if he could not be judged, he would be disqualified from judging others, because the pasuk says, Hiskoshishu v'koshu, search yourself and search others, which Reish Lakish explained, Kashet atzmecha v'achokach kashet acherim, correct yourself and only then correct others. The Gemara answers that although this law is obvious, it was written to teach the contrasting law of a king. Alternatively, the Mishnah is teaching that he's even judged for galus if he killed inadvertently. Since if he would go to galus, he could never leave, since there was no other Kohen Gadol then, one might have thought he's not subject to galus. Point number two, the Mishnah taught Me'id u'me'idin oso, a Kohen Gadol may testify and be testified about. The Gemara said, a brisa darshens v'hi salamta, and you shall hide to teach, pamim shatam misalem. There are times when you may hide from returning a lost item. One example is zaken ve'eno lefi kvodo, an elder for whom it's not befitting his honor to retrieve and return the item. If so, a Kohen Gadol should likewise be exempt from testifying for someone's benefit. Rav Yosef answers that he testifies for a king, which is not beneath his dignity, but the Gemara objects that a king is not judged. Rav Yezer answers that he testifies for a king's son, but the Gemara asks that he's a commoner, and the Kohen Gadol would not testify about him. The Gemara answers, Me'id bifnei hamelech. The Kohen Gadol testifies in the king's presence, which is not degrading to the Kohen Gadol. Since the king cannot serve on a Beis Din, the Gemara explains that, Mishum yakar de Kohen Gadol, because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol, who is testifying about a son, the king comes and sits, and after he testifies, the king leaves and Beis Din examines the case. And point number three, was Tana Brisa that a melech cannot serve on a Sanhedrin because the Pasuk says, Losana al Riv, you shall not respond to an argument, which is darshaned as Losana al Rav, you shall not respond to a master in disagreement. Since no judge could argue with the king, he cannot be a judge on a Sanhedrin. The Brisa says that neither a melech nor a kohen gadol may participate in Ibur Shana. The king cannot mishum afsanya because of the wages he pays to his army. Since they are paid yearly, the king may be inclined to extend the year whereby he'll save money. The kohen gadol cannot mishum tzina because of the cold of the upcoming Yom Kippur. The kohen gadol immerses himself in a mikveh numerous times in Yom Kippur, and extending the year would result in Yom Kippur falling a month later when it will be colder. Therefore, he might be inclined not to extend the year. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Yud Ches, and our standard Simon is a chuppah, because Ben Yud Ches or chuppah, someone who's 18, should go to chuppah. So here goes. At the king's son's chuppah, the kohen gadol, who was on his way to an ir miklat, after being judged, testified about the king's son in front of the king, who wasn't part of the beis din. While two workers setting up another chuppah discussed the reasons the king and kohen gadol were disqualified from participating in Ibur Shana. Once again, slow motion. At the king's son's chuppah, that must mean Daf Yod Ches, Ben Yod Ches or Chuppah. At the king's son's chuppah, the kohen gadol who is on his way to an ir miklat after being judged, which reminds us, the second parak begins, kohen gadol dan v'dan noso. A kohen gadol may judge others and be judged. Different reasons are given as to why this must be taught, and one pshat is that the Mishnah is teaching that he's even judged for galus if he killed b'shogeg. Since if he would go to galus, he could never leave, since there was no other kohen gadol then, one might have thought he's not subject to galus. So, at the king's son's chuppah, the kohen gadol, who was on his way to an ir miklat, after being judged, testified about the king's son in front of the king, who wasn't part of the beis din, which reminds us, the Gemara explains, Meid bifnei melech. The kohen gadol testifies in the king's presence, which is not degrading to the kohen gadol. Since the king cannot serve on a beis din, the Gemara explains that, Mishum yakar the kohen gadol, because of the honor of the kohen gadol, who's testifying about the king's son, the king comes and sits, and after he testifies, the king leaves and beis din examines the case. So, at the king's son's chuppah, the kohen gadol, who was on his way to an ir miklat after being judged, testified about the king's son in front of the king, who wasn't part of the beis din. While two workers setting up another chuppah discussed the reasons the king and kohen gadol were disqualified from participating in Ibur Shana, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that neither a king nor a kohen gadol may participate in Ibur Shana. The king cannot mishum afsanya because of the wages he pays to his army. Since they are paid yearly, the king may be inclined to extend the year whereby he'll save money. The kohen gadol cannot mishum tzina because of the cold of the upcoming Yom Kippur. The kohen gadol immerses himself in a mikveh numerous times on Yom Kippur, and extending the year would result in Yom Kippur falling a month later when it will be colder. Therefore, he might be inclined not to extend the year. So once again, at the king's son's chuppah, the kohen gadol, who was on his way to an ir miklat after being judged, testified about the king's son in front of the king, who wasn't part of the beis din. While two workers setting up another chuppah discussed the reasons the king and kohen gadol were disqualified from participating in Ibur Shana. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Yadol, so the simmer Daf Yadol relates to Yad hand, and we use a juggler for the simmer. So here goes. The juggler, that must be on Daf Yud, juggler. The juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, which reminds us, Gemara relates how Rav Yehuda ben Baba sacrificed his life to perpetuate smicha when he gave it to five zekanim and was subsequently killed by the Romans, who drove 300 spears into him. So the juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, who only did the smicha routine in Eretz Yisrael for audiences in Eretz Yisrael, which reminds us, we learned that smicha can only be given if both the party giving the smicha and the parties receiving the smicha are in Eretz Yisrael. So the juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, who only did the smicha routine in Eretz Yisrael for audiences in Eretz Yisrael, almost dropped one of his pins when he was shocked seeing the entire Sanhedrin walk by on their way to measure for an egla arufa, which reminds us, the Gemara brings machlokes about the number of dayanim for egla arufa, and the third opinion requires the entire Sanhedrin to come to measure for it. Daf Tezvav, so the Siman Daf Tezvav relates to Tu B'Shvat, and we use a fruit bowl. So here goes. The man who said Erech Yalai, whose fruit bowl, that must be on Daf Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat, fruit bowl. The man who said Erech Yalai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that Archim Metaltalin, Archim, which are movable items, are appraised by three judges. The Gemara said fixed Archim only apply to people, and three interpretations are given. The third one is Rabbi Yavo, who explains that someone said Erech Yalai, my Erech value is upon me, and his assets are being collected as payment. If his metaltein are collected, they are appraised by three people. Ravina was asked why an accurate appraisal is critical in this final interpretation, which is bringing in an item to Hekdesh. He replied, it's a svara. What's the difference between bringing something into Hekdesh and removing it, meaning redeeming it? Just as redeeming requires three judges to prevent a mistaken loss to Hekdesh, bringing items into Hekdesh to pay a debt requires an accurate appraisal to avoid errors. So the man who said Erech Yalai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, was standing next to a man who had said Deme Alai, who was waiting for 10 men to appraise his value, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that Adam, a person requires 10 people to be appraised for Hekdesh. Since a person cannot become Hekdesh, Rabbi Yavo explains it refers to one who said Deme Alai, my value is upon me. A Brisa teaches that the person is appraised like a slave being sold in the market, and since Avadim are compared with a Hekdesh to land, 10 appraisers are required. So, the man who said Erech Yalai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, was standing next to a man who had said Deme Alai, who was waiting for 10 people to appraise his value, who was almost run over by a man trying to kill a lion that killed a person, which reminds us, in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama said that lions, wolves, and other dangerous animals also required 23 judges to put them to death for killing someone. Eliezer says, Kol kodem horgan zacha, whoever is first to kill them merits, and no judges are required. Reish Lakish clarifies, Vahushe misu. This applies only if they actually killed someone, but Rabbi Eliezer agrees they are not killed if they never killed a person. He holds, Yesh and Tarbus v'yesh and Balim. These animals can be tamed and do have owners. Rabbi Yochanan holds they can be killed outright, even if they never killed anyone, because he holds they cannot be tamed and have no owners. Daf Tez Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Tez Zayin is an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must be on Daf Tez Zayin. The acrobat with large toes performing for an entire Shevet awaiting their judgment for serving Avodah Zorah from a Sanhedrin of 71, which reminds us, we learned that an entire Shevet which served Avodah Zorah is judged by a Sanhedrin of 71. So the acrobat with large toes performing for an entire Shevet awaiting their judgment for serving Avodah Zorah from a Sanhedrin of 71 swung over soldiers on their way to request permission from the Sanhedrin to go to war for the spoils, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that in Melchemes Rishus, an optional war requires the consent of Sanhedrin. The Gemara derives this from Rabbi Shimon Chasid's statement, who taught that a harp hung above David's bed, and the north wind would blow on it at midnight, causing the harp to play. Immediately, David would rise and learn Torah until the morning, and then when he was told the nation required a parnasa, David then said to wage war against foreign nations to obtain sustenance. Immediately, they consulted Achitofel for advice, requested the Sanhedrin's permission, and asked the Urim Metumim if they would succeed. So, the acrobat with large toes performing for an entire Shevet, awaiting their judgment for serving Avodah Zorah from a Sanhedrin of 71, swung over soldiers on their way to request permission from the Sanhedrin to go to war for the spoils, who were coming from a city spared from being an Ir HaNidachas because it was near the border, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that a border city cannot be declared an Ir HaNidachas, which the Gemara darshens from Ir Kerbecha, from your midst, excluding the border area. Further, a Braisa gives a practical reason, Shemi Yishmu Nachrim Yachrivu as Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps Goyim will hear about the unprotected border and destroy Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara explains this Tana is Rabbi Shimon, who darshens reasons for laws taught by Psukim. Daf Yud Zayin. So the symbol Daf Yud Zayin is a used car. So here goes. At Eldad Umeidad Motors, where they were raffling off a used car. Used car? That must be on Daf Yud Zayin. At Eldad Umeidad Motors, where they were raffling off a used car, two tickets got left in the raffle, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the story of Eldad Umeidad remaining in the camp. One shot being that Eldad Umeidad were afraid to draw blank lots when the 70 judges were chosen, and their lots, which said Zaken, remained in the box. So at Eldad Umeidad Motors, where they were raffling off a used car, two tickets got left in the raffle, as the owners announced that a man named Yeshua won a huge van to take to Eretz Yisrael, which reminds us, three opinions are given as to what Nevuah was prophesied by Eldad Umeidad. The first shot being, they said Moshe Mace, Moshe will die and Yeshua will bring Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So at Eldad Umeidad Motors, where they were raffling off a used car, two tickets got left in the raffle, as the owners announced that a man named Yehoshua won a huge van to take to Eretz Yisrael, giving a ride to 23 judges, all of them wise, tall, well-versed in witchcraft, and knowing 70 languages, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan listed qualifications for members of a Sanhedrin of 23 judges. They must be Bali Koma, Bali Chachma, Bali Mare, Bali Zigna, and Bali Kshafim, men of height, men of wisdom, men of impressive appearance, men of age, men learned in witchcraft to prevent the parties from escaping, Yodim Bishibim Lashon, and they must know the 70 languages to avoid hearing testimony through an interpreter. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we have melchokas about Ibor Shana to ensure the Adam Tekufa is in Chag HaAsif? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good number two, which daf do you learn? A Kohen Gadol who kills Beshogeg does go to Galus. That's on daf. Yud Ches. Good number three, which daf do you learn? One who said, Demei Olai, my value is upon me. 10 appraisers are required. That's on daf. Tezvav. Good number four, which daf do you learn? We are not ma'abar the year before Rosh Hashanah because it might be forgotten by other Shani. That's on daf. Yud Beis. Good number five. Which daf to discuss qualifications for members of a Sanhedrin of 23? That's on daf. Yud Zayin. Good number six. Which daf to the fifth opinion that Tekufas Nisan must fall in the renewal of Nisan? That's on daf. Yud Gimel. Good number seven. Which daf to when smicha can only be given if both parties are together in Eretz Yisrael? That's on daf. Yedalad. Good number eight. Which of the one of Melch and Kohen Gadol cannot participate in Yibur Shana? That's on daf. Yud Ches. Good number nine. Which daf do we have three interpretations of the Nevuah of Eldad and Medad? That's on daf. Yud Zayin. Good number ten. Which of the one of Kohen Gadol testifies in the king's presence about the king's son? That's on daf. Yud Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichron Wishing you a great day and great learning.